It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you. Larry.
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I'm Chris Sheeran. Joe Auriemma will be joining us in a second. Joining us right now at Yankee Stadium, if you hear all the background noise, is the New York Post's Kevin Kernan. Kevin, welcome once again.
Well, Chris, it's good. I'll have to yell a little louder, which I'm capable of doing.
This is kind of weird doing this face-to-face. Usually you're on the phone and you can't see all the stupid faces I'm making when I'm talking to you. When you're saying something and I'm like, yeah, right. I'm kidding. Everything that comes out of Kevin Kernan's mouth is gospel, and that's why we have him on the show with us. And we're going to start with the Mets because you're here with the Yankees today, but you were with the Mets last week, and last week was a rough week for the Mets. And we'll start with K-Rod, of course. What's been the shakeout from that lately? What's been going on with that? And the Mets obviously aren't going to be with him for the rest of the season with the injury, but what's going on with that?
Well, Chris, the bottom line with the Mets, and again, most of this is intuition. You know, people aren't telling me stuff. I'm figuring this out. I'm just being around the game for 33 years and knowing what's going on. They just created a mess because that's what the Mets do. It's like one former player told me, he said they should change the name to MESS, mess, because that's what they do time and time again. They let little things become big things, and K-Rod's a perfect example. Of course, we all know the story. He went in the family room, turned it into a mixed martial arts cage, and he did it. Here's the thing, too. He did it in front of, like, Beltran's three-year-old daughter. That's why Beltran, people have been getting on Beltran over the last 2 years for not showing guts, but he stepped up that night. He said this was the wrong thing to do. You shouldn't be doing this in front. And nobody else was really saying that, but I talked to a lot of Mets. They don't want any part of K-Rod, and I think you'll never see him again pitch for the Mets. It's that simple.
All right. Other than that, I mean, the trade deadline comes and goes. No deals are made. I mean, the message that sends to Met fans is basically, you know what, this is what we have. Keep coming and keep spending your money. Deal with it. I just don't get that sense of, you know, mentality that the Mets front office is coming with here.
Yeah, they're getting very close to pushing it to brown bag with the fans, you know, but bags over the heads or fans boycotting. And the worst thing is, and I've talked to Jeff Wilpon about this, spring training, he assured me if the Mets were somewhere in a race, they had $10 million to spend. They never spent it. So that either means they didn't think they were in a race or they didn't have the money to spend. I really think they don't have the money to spend. I think they. Every time you bring the word Madoff up, the Wilpons get upset. I wrote a column on the disastrous West Coast trip. I was with them, and I referred to Ali Perez as the pitching Ponzi scheme. And that's basically – it was a good line. And he is. He's a pitching Ponzi scheme, and they fell for it. And, of course, word got back to me through ownership that they were very, very upset because I – not because I called him a, you know, who he is, but because I brought in money into the equation.
Well, you were clever.
Yes, I was clever. And I tell you, there's at least five or six things that I would do if I were the Mets. First thing I would do would I would hire a president, so there's a layer between Jeff and whoever is the GM. I would make Jeremy Capstein that man. Jeremy is the right-hand man for Larry Lucchino in Boston. Does a lot of the great moves that Boston does that other people get credit for. They're Jeremy's moves. I've known him since I was back with the Padres. He was a famous agent. He also was a president of the Padres. So he's been on both sides. He can deal with the Red Sox. Obviously, he can deal with the Red Sox. That's the name, Jeremy Capstein. Remember that. The Mets probably won't have the guts to make that hire, but that's the hire they should make. The other hire, real simple, and I hate to raid the Yankees, but if I go to the best to get the best, I take Kevin Towers, who's now an advisor, make him GM. He's the greatest dumpster diving GM there is out there. He, look at what he did with the Padres, another clever line by me. And
absolutely.
And thirdly, I would hire Damon Oppenheimer, who is now the amateur scouting director for the Yankees. I would make him in charge of farm system and scouting. And in 5 minutes, and that's what it would take to sign these guys, because they would all want to New York, do it in New York and really square off against the Yankees. In 5 minutes, I fixed the Mets. Why can't Jeff fix it?
Wow. How about you, Joe?
You know, I was just going to ask you about the disorganization in the, you know, in the Mets organization. You know, starting even with going from Jerry Manuel. I mean, there was a point where he said Beltran's going to be back in a week. Manaea comes back and says, no, that's not true. Then, you know, Manuel says, well, K-Rod might be available to pitch tonight. So what is going on with Jerry and the miscommunication between even the manager and the organization?
Great point, Saul. And the problem with Jerry, and I've had it from day one, I'm not saying I'm smarter than everybody else. I just knew this. He was not a good bench coach for Willie Randolph. A lot of the crazy moves Willie made came from Jerry's mind. Yeah. You know, and Jerry is not an organized guy. Some people say he's a very nice guy. But I know he didn't help Willie at the end. He was a Tony Bernazard. Him and Tony were very tight. And now I think what you're seeing in Jerry is that Jerry is very disorganized, doesn't know how to run a bullpen, doesn't know how to run a team. And I think a lot of those reasons, he's also anti-management. He admits that. I don't know how you can have an anti-management as a manager. I mean, just you can't make this stuff up.
That's kind of oxymoronic, isn't it?
It is, but that's what the Mets have. And I'm not here to beat up the Mets, because believe me, everything I'm telling you, I told people higher up a year ago. So they got what they deserve.
My question to you is, now, you know, in this offseason, if they do fire Manuel, if Manaea is not going to be here, how are they even going to try to lure a guy like Cliff Lee or any free agent that, no, does anybody even want to come to the Mets?
I'll tell you what, next time you're over at Citi Field, beautiful ballpark, but way too big, for fun, just for fun, stand by the visiting players when they're having visiting batting practice. You'll hear more cursing, more screaming. They hate the field. Ball players hate the field. Good guys that you would never think that say anything bad about anything. I'm standing there, and they're MFing the field. They're doing this with the field. It's unbelievable. So if you're a pitcher, you'll run there. But no hitter in his right mind, unless he's really desperate, as Jason Bay was, will be with the Mets.
And, you know, it's funny. I heard Jason Bay say in the Yankees-Mets Subway Series, he hit a ball. It hit the wall out and left. And he goes, what the hell do I have to do to hit a ball out of here?
That's exactly it. So, and here's the other thing. I want to get this straight, because there's a lot of fans, and with the twittering and blogging, they have a little bit more access to us. And I want to explain some things to them. They don't quite get it. They say, well, look at the record at home with the Mets. Yeah, the record's great at home, but look at the record on the road. It's because these guys can't hit. They can't hit. One of the reasons they can't hit is because the ballpark's too big. They try to change some things. They get bad habits. Before you know it, they can't hit anywhere. They might get away with it at home because nobody else is scoring that many runs, but they don't get away with it on the road. That's why the ballpark at home hurts you on the road.
Twitter, I hope you're listening. Please, for the love of Jesus and everything that is holy. Anyway, let's switch topics here. Let's get a little positive. Now, you also covered Victor Cruz, who was a very pleasant surprise for the New York Football Giants against the Jets. Yes, I know it's preseason, but this kid, a rookie undrafted free agent from Paterson, New Jersey, a local kid, lost his father. Great story. You had the column about him. What was it like getting to know this kid and his family?
Well, he's one of those kids, as soon as you meet him, he lights up, and he lights up your world. He's got that personality, so he's great for a team for that respect. I talked to his high school coach, Benji Wimberly, and he gave me a lot of insight into the kid. Kid could dunk at 5'8". You know, he was a great athlete. Thought he was a basketball player. They finally convinced him at Paterson Catholic to be a football player, starter by his junior year. And his coach told me he would make plays like that all the time. He's got the best hands he's ever seen. And it's not just a fluky thing. He's been in martial arts since he was young, so he's been working his hands in that manner. The coach said he's got the strongest hands he's ever seen. He said he will make plays like that all the time. And this was the key point when I asked Vic, you know, once you made that catch, remember that first catch, 64-yard touchdown, left hand, one-handed, went all the way. What did that do for you? And he said, it was like, wow. I said, I can do it against this level. So he knew he could do it in high school. He knew he could do it at Massachusetts. He had 21 touchdowns in high school. You know, that's a lot for a wide receiver team that was loaded that went, you know, a bunch of state championships. So I think, I always admired the Giants scouting staff. They have some great scouts over there, and I think they found themselves a great one.
Well, I don't know what this means, but maybe Senoras Smalls is going to be on the outside looking in when camp breaks?
Yeah, I'm not. I think what you'll have. This is my gut feeling.
I know it's just one game. I don't want to be one of those fans. Oh my God, Victor Cruz!
Right. At the very least, here's what's going to happen: the Giants will find a way to keep him on the roster, and maybe wait for that opening. Because let's face it, coming into the NFL, you still got to make a lot of changes. And you know that was great for Darrelle Revis as well, all those catches. But I think it's going to take some, you know, like anything else. I don't think the kid will keep it going like that. If he does, then hey, why not? But I thought the interesting point from the coach was too that Austin Miles played in their same league for Garfield, and he said, and he's been saying this for years. He's not just saying now to me. He's been saying that this kid is better than Austin Miles, much better as a high school student. And he says that's not a knock on Austin Miles. That's just how good Victor is.
Well, the thing that hit home with me is what Tom Coughlin said. And Tom Coughlin said the kid busts his tail every practice, so he was glad that he had that opportunity to do what he did.
Yes, he did. And I was sitting there when Tom came in, and, you know, Tom, after a game, it's kind of like, it's going, the way I could best describe it is it's going to meet your girlfriend's father for the first time, and you know he has a shotgun. Yeah,
You are just gold today.
And so Tom comes in, he's got the Tom face going, and I like Tom. I think he's a good coach. He really works hard at it. But he immediately said, and he smiled, and he said, justice was served tonight, meaning that he's worked so hard, just like you said, and all that hard work paid off, and other people get to see what I see. And I thought it was very interesting, too, at the end of Hard Knocks, you saw when Coach Ryan went up to Tom after the game, and he said, basically said, I don't know who number three was, but boy, he's a good one. You know, he opened up eyes there, and that's the beauty when you see a kid work hard, come through. And again, his father passed away, I think, 3 years ago. He said his father was 30-year life, basically a life for as a fireman in Patterson. So it's a great story, and so fitting with the Yankees, what they've done with the great stuff they've done with Hope Week. And, you know, people ask me, again, getting back to Twitter, when someone asked me last week, oh, you guys just always like to write negative stories. It's much easier to write the negative columns. Sometimes it is easier, but I don't think it is. I had more fun writing the Vic Cruz story than I did anything with the Mets the previous week, and it got me out of the K-Rod sludge.
Well, not for nothing, but what are you going to write positive about the Mets right now? A, and B, obviously they didn't read that article on Victor Cruz. So get on NewYorkNYPost.com and go back on Kevin Kernan's articles and read the one on Victor Cruz, and you'll see Twitter people, tweeps, that there is some positivity in the man standing before me. And we thank you once again for joining us on the Off the Wall podcast. For Kevin Kernan and Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next time here on YesNetwork.com. When the world is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. If you can't hang with the feeling, then there ain't no room for you in this part of town. Cause we're the party people night and day, living crazy, that's the only way. So tonight, gotta leave the 9 to 5 up on the shelf. Enjoy yourself, groove. Let the madness and the music get to you. Life ain't so bad at all. You live it off the wall. Life